Welcome, guys. So this episode isn't just for English teachers, although that's how I met Natalia. She's actually in my ATA, that's the Accent Teachers Academy. That's a membership I have for English teachers who want to specialize in pronunciation or even become an accent coach like me. And every week we have a live mastermind session where a teacher can just jump into the hot seat and ask about anything from how to teach the TH sound to how to start an email list. Like, I'm really just there to answer people's questions and put out fires, let's say. So Natalia's student had what we first thought was a unique problem, but then we realized that many other people might benefit from knowing about how to combat dryness in the mouth, especially if it's winter or a dry climate where you live. So you're going to get a lot of valuable information and some extra tips at the end that you might not have even thought about. So now, on with the show. So first of all, I want to welcome you, Natalia, to the podcast and say, hey, how have you been? And say hello to our listeners and give them a little bit of background on you so we know who you are.
Okay, hello, Bianca. Happy to hear you. And I'm Natalia Pogodina. I'm a Russian English tutor. I give one-on-one English lessons. And recently, 1 year ago, I joined Bianca's community. So yeah, and I'm happy. And now I didn't intend to teach pronunciation, but you know, this thing is pretty infectious. that's why, yes, here and there, I bring up the topic with my students, and even probably without me bringing up, they keep asking mm-hmm. me about all kind of pronunciation tricks. So yes, mm-hmm. and yes, recently at some of our session, I can't remember, probably it was Teacher's Academy or Accent Lounge, I brought up the question that I got from one of my students. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I asked her why she always starts to retell, you know, something, starts her retelling in very nice pronunciation, the closer to the end, the less English she sounds.
Can I ask you a second? Is it like she's running out of breath? Because some people don't kind of do their connected speech well, and so they run out of breath at the end of the sentence. Was it like that? What was the problem?
Nope. Mm-hmm. She doesn't forget breathing, no. But yeah, it's, I don't know, she like divines, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Unwinds, probably like a clockwork. Oh. So yeah.
Or like a sweater when you pull on the thread and it kind of like unravels a little bit.
Unravels, yeah. So probably gets out of steam.
Yes. It's funny you mentioned steam because we were thinking, people don't bring this up as a problem very often. So it was a very unusual kind of thing that was happening with this student. So we thought, let's make a whole podcast episode about it where we can really brainstorm as teachers, how can we help this person? Because we realize that if only one person asks a question, probably there's 50 or 100 other people who have the same problem, right?
Sure.
So, what did you suspect at this point? What did you kind of start to think was maybe causing this unraveling, let's say?
So I asked her, and you know, surprisingly, usually students say that their muscles get tired, and that's why it's getting more and more difficult to pronounce properly. Yeah, mm-hmm. But this one, she said, my mouth gets dry. And I didn't get it first. But then I actually realized that sometimes I feel the same. Or at least when I'm listening to my own recordings, I realize that my pronunciation doesn't sound as wet. I'm sorry.
Moist, the word of what was it, 2022 or something. I think, remember, everyone was hating on the word moist for a while.
Pet peeve. Yeah, one of Probably this is actually still now one of the most general pet peeves. Moist.
Yes, yes. Moist. Most hated words. Yes. We're going to say it a lot today. So guys, get used to it. So really, this was interesting because we just said, hey, if one person has a problem, probably there are other people like that too. And when she was able to kind of like describe it, you said, you know what? I kind of feel that way too sometimes. So maybe it's related to the first language or certain habits, you know, that people have. So then you started digging a little bit deeper, which is excellent because I would also think the first thing is, oh, it's muscles, it's tension, right? This person maybe needs to massage or just open the mouth a little bit more, something like that, you know, even like an emotional kind of like tenseness or blockage, right? But
yeah.
No, it seems to be almost biological in nature, right? So
yeah.
So where did you go from here?
So we started trying all kind of things. We were trying and we actually realized that one of the things that makes our mouth full of saliva, or at least more or less full of saliva, is actually sound R. Yeah. The further we curl our tongues, and it's mechanical, probably mechanically, as the saliva comes up. From these ones.
Let me pause you for a second, only because our listeners might be thinking the same thing, but to us it's kind of obvious. I presume that the first thing you did was ask, hey, are you drinking enough water, right? Like during the day, if somebody's mouth is feeling dry.
I asked her first to have a glass nearby, a glass of water nearby during the lesson.
Nothing else.
But it didn't actually help much.
Wasn't that?
So what else? Another reason, which I thought probably is kind of an obstacle, is that I, myself, you know, personally, I teach them to open their mouths as wide as possible when saying some vowels and diphthong, and
especially here, you know, and like you said earlier with the R, maybe it's a specific sound, right? And then you moved on to like oral posture, where you thought, hey, maybe it's the how I'm holding the mouth, right, which is kind of causing some air. Because let's face it, all of that inside of our mouth, it's all mucous membrane, and it can all dry out pretty quickly if you're opening your mouth maybe more than you're used to, right? So you started with an individual sound. Okay, is it sounds that are causing the problem, specific ones? And then you thought, oh, maybe it's kind of like the shape of the mouth and the openings, right? That's what I'm hearing. Is that correct?
Yeah, nice. Yeah. And actually, I taught them not to do this, you know, how to
so you're thinking, open their mouth.
So from from that point, I actually didn't know where to go further. So I'm asking you for some advice. Professional and friendly.
Yes. Friendly, kind ideas on what to do. What can we do next? Yeah. So you've already hit some really good points. The very first thing I would think of is, you know, most people are kind of not hydrated enough, you know, during the day. So let that be a lesson to all of us that you like, yeah, don't forget your, you know, your water. Always have your water handy. Mm-hmm. And because, yes, we don't realize all of the habits, you know, from language to language that we're completely kind of unaware of just because we're so used to it, right? So how much I'm opening my mouth can be very different, like the posture that people have, right? And you're like that for years, you know? So I think the track that you're on was perfect. You're thinking of individual sounds, right? And you're thinking about how I hold my mouth. So first thing I want to ask you is, you mentioned the R's, right, and vowels and some diphthongs, but I want you to think about the fact that we've got this whole area, but also people forget we have the nasal area too, right? And all of that can dry out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Anyone who's been in the winter and a cold. So in Russian, do you feel like there's any nasal differences between there? Could air be escaping too much out of the nose, not just the mouth? Is that a possibility, do you think?
Sure, there are differences. Usually, you know, at least To the most of Russian speakers, English sounds like more nasal. Yeah. And I think that's because, and I usually say this again at my lessons, that we in English, we have to hold these lips together, or uvula, and what does it contact? The root of the tongue.
Like if you're looking at like a
we actually don't even have this kind of sound in Russian.
Sound.
Air actually flat leaves our mouth in quite a flat way.
If you feel like you're being more nasally, it's also going up here too. You know what I mean? More.
Yeah, more. It also, you know, if you try to sound or to make your nasals more nasal, and if you actually also open your mouth wider than you are used to, yeah, probably all these things can bring dryness to our mouth. Even now, when I'm trying to tell all and to show all these things, I feel like, yes, my mouth is getting dry, really dry.
So,
and
yeah,
as soon as I say dry, curling my tongue back, it's getting wetter. Yeah,
exactly.
More hydrated. Exactly. Yeah.
That saliva can move around a little bit, but when it's all dry inside, it just kind of like stuck there, you know? So that's a good point. All like, cheers. We can have some water. We can always have a little sip of water. Cheers. We just mentioned open the mouth wide. We as teachers, we go to the mechanics of it, right? Let's think of the sounds of some of the vowels like ah. Like we said, these are very open sounds like they're supposed to be, right? If you look at a vowel chart, they are called open sounds. And so, yes, we want our mouth open. But here's the trick, right? We teach this. But honestly, for an advanced speaker, it's not the end goal. It's the intermediate goal. And so I want to say something that people who are listening might not have thought about it, might not have even thought about the first step, right? Having a more open mouth. That can be really helpful for your pronunciation, your enunciation. But what's actually the end goal that most people don't even know that they don't know? In fact, secret coming up. Actually, in the future, you don't want to open your jaw as much because, bear with me, because what you really want to do is you want to train the inside muscles, right? You want more muscle tone, right? First, we start with muscle memory, right? And then we want to tone the muscle.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. So we actually should open our mouth inside, something like inside.
You're creating that space.
I sometimes tell them that you should do this over articulation only at the beginning, and then yes, your muscles get used to the sounds. But sometimes it doesn't happen. You know, and we still continue to open our mouths because, we also still continue to confuse some vowels or...
And it works,
afraid,
right? Opening the mouth works.
Not being understood here. So now when I hear some questions about pronunciation, I'm happy because very often at the very beginning, when you start giving English lessons, they say, no, I'm not going to train any pronunciation. I'm just, I would like to be able to express myself and to understand what they are talking about. And very often, while other skills are progressing, we still, at the bottom, of our pronunciation ladder.
Which is fine as long as someone's comprehensible, right? But the problem, I think, is that people want to move forward. They want to get all the vocabulary and, you know, they want to be able to use the past participle without thinking. And that's great, but it doesn't matter if people aren't understanding the words that you're saying anyways, you know? So I think there has to be a balance there too. And you're right, like, let's over articulate those sounds at the beginning, you know?
Yeah, I also would like to emphasize that rarely do people are able to understand oral speech unless they know how to produce the sounds. So, yeah, if they know what they are going to hear, then it's getting easier.
Yeah, good point. That's a good point.
So it's important.
The listening also, like,
that's why
I need to know what the sound is supposed to be. But also, you just mentioned something else too. Knowing, like literally the knowledge, this is an open sound, right? This is not. This sound should have friction, let's say, right? Like the knowledge isn't there. Most of us aren't taught that. But then also, yeah, like I need to hear a sample, you know, and we can hear samples online. We can join a group. You know, there's lots of ways that we can do that. But we have to kind of train our ear for our mouth to kind of match that as well. And like you said, over-articulate it first, and then we can start working on the muscle tone. So technically, right, I'm overdoing it too. Technically, I can get there by opening my jaw, right? It works. It always works. It's not going to not work. But my end goal is to tone the muscles. So like you said, I create more space. Why would I do that? So that when I'm opening my mouth, I'm not losing all of that air and that moisture. If dryness is the problem, then here's actually the end solution, right? Let me take a look in my drawer. Sometimes I take out this spoon that I have in my drawer because I think it has a very nice shape, you know, and it kind of curls a little bit. So I like to use that as a teaching aid. But for this particular thing, if we're talking about muscle tone, your best friend, your new best friend is just like a chopstick, right? Or a wooden pencil. And what I want you to do is hold it in your mouth, right? And then you're going to talk that way, but don't be lazy, right? This is work. We're toning the muscle. It's like going to a gym. You're going to put the chopstick in your mouth, right? And then you're going to talk, right? And when we earlier said over-articulate, well, now with this chopstick in my mouth, it becomes that much harder and my muscles need to work harder. Anybody can do this, right? Anytime. And you're sitting, you're watching a show, probably hopefully not on a date, right? You don't have somebody with you that you're trying to impress. The chopstick isn't very romantic. But if you're alone and you're watching a series and you're doing your normal shadowing or whatever, then just throw in the chopstick, right? And follow along, right? Go slow so that the muscles really are working. And just remember too that, like, because this is in the way, right? Some sounds you're not going to be able to get them perfectly, like THs, right? Your tongue is just not going to be able to do that because the chopstick is in the way. But for most sounds, and particularly all vowels, you should be able to do them. So remember the two sounds earlier that we said had an open sound? What were they?
R,
and R, you're right. But the vowels, we called them open vowels, right? As in cat. So watch this. This should be your goal. With the chopstick in your mouth, you still should be able to say those sounds, right? Eh, ah, eh, ah. Is my jaw open? No. You give it a try, right? Eh, ah. Go ahead.
Eh, ah.
So you have muscle tone, right? You've been teaching for a while. You have muscle tone. Eh, ah.
Yeah.
So say,
but still.
Exactly. So try this with your students.
Oh, yeah, no, I sound fly, meaning beer.
Definitely, definitely. But pretty soon you can be like a ventriloquist, right? You can be like, wah, 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 wah. Maybe you learn to like throw your voice. But yeah, for example, put that in your mouth and say, the cat jumped in the box.
Talking?
Who's this? Who's
cat
this?
Cat jumped in the box.
So I can hear. I can hear, right? And if you're like, hey, that wasn't so great, right? Keep doing it. Keep going to the gym, let's say, the muscle gym. So your new best friend is a chopstick, right? Anybody can tone their muscles this way. And if you don't happen to have chopstick. Use a pencil.
Bianca. Bianca. Yes. How is your cat doing?
My cat is sleeping over there, right? If somebody has kids, right, small kids, this would be such a fun activity to do with the kids. And, like, you can be playful with it,
yeah,
you know? Exactly.
Yeah, kids are usually very supportive in all kind of activities,
right?
With Lawrence's voice. Yeah.
Doing a silly voice, exactly. Telling a story, something like that, right? But if you don't have a chopstick, then take a pencil. But I want everyone to think of two things, too. We got the technique. We know how it's going to help because now I don't have as big of an opening in the air. Not as much air is going to escape, right? Plus, I'm just going to tone my muscles so I don't have to think about opening my mouth as much.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing, too, is, I wanted to say the two tips, definitely, if you're going to do this chopstick or pencil technique, is number one, don't bite down on it so much that you can see the teeth marks everywhere, right? Nice and light. We don't want to cause any tension or anything like that. We don't need to add to that. But number two is, here's what I see people doing, and it's not very helpful, right? Imagine going to the gym, and you're like, I'm going to the gym. I'm so healthy. I'm working out. But then you just, stand by the water cooler and you're just chatting people up the whole time and you didn't do the work, right? So make sure to do the work. And what I mean is, like, over-articulate here, right? So here's what I don't want you to do. I'm going to say again, the car's open to walk. What do people do? They get lazy. And that's not helping. You know what I mean? So keep those two things in mind. So if anybody is doing this and they're thinking like, oh, I'm feeling a bit dry, you know, how can I let less air escape? Well, you know, close that wide gap, literally, by working on toning the muscles from the inside. They're like, oh, it's hard. Yes, it's hard. That's why we're doing this, right? We're doing this to do the muscles. Number two, on the opposite side, right? Don't clamp down on that chopstick, right? Especially if it's a metal one. That's not going to be good for your teeth. But get a wooden chopstick or a pencil. But if you're seeing, like, teeth marks in there, you've probably got a lot of tension here, and you're transferring that to that. That's probably not going to help you relax
either. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you also should check on your jaw.
I really like this one activity. You and I both wear glasses, so I'm going to take my glasses off. But if you take your fingertips and you go from your temples, right, where the jaw muscles actually attach, and you just kind of drag your fingers down. Oh, and just open your jaw. Wow, that just does wonders for your tension. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And all this, like, facial yoga that's out there now, I'm like, ooh, let's do some accent yoga and let's, like, really loosen up those muscles, you know? So, yeah, we didn't talk about the tension today. Maybe that's something we could talk about another time, too, because that's a problem as well. So, for now, Natalia, how do you feel about this technique? You know, we know it's not that they're not drinking enough water. We know that it's some sounds, you know, I can kind of work with that, too. But what do you think about this new technique of using the chopstick to actually kind of jump over and do the more advanced thing, which is to not open your mouth so much? What do you think about that?
That sounds fantastic.
Awesome. So what I want you to do now is take that to your student, right? And figure out how you want to present it. Maybe get some activities together for them too. And then let's you and I come back and do another podcast episode where we do a bit of a follow-up, right? And see, like, how does that person feel? How do they sound, right? And we could even talk about something else, like maybe tension in the muscles and that part of oral posture between, let's say, Russian and English as well, because I bet there's more oral posture things that we can talk about. Would you be willing to do that?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and also I think that probably by the next episode on this topic, we would probably come up with some new approaches or exercises. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You might come up with something even doing it. Yeah, exactly. You might notice some things about this that because you're with this person, or they might give you some feedback about it that gives you a whole different idea, you know? And that's, I think, the great thing about our Teachers Academy is that it's a mastermind, right? Everybody comes with their experience. Whenever anybody is having an issue, they bring that up and everybody focuses on that, you know, for that time. So we do kind of hot seats in our weekly masterminds.
And this also about self-reflection. Yeah, you know, it takes, I don't know, probably a special skill or time to analyze what I'm doing, how I'm doing this.
Yeah, and it's not something we're usually taught in school. So yeah, and it takes time and it takes like an introspection to be like, what am I doing, right? Because we just do our thing and we talk and then we don't really always think about, oh my God, where is my tongue, you know? Why am I feeling, am I even feeling dry? Is that the problem? Like, it took us a lot to get here is what I'm trying to say. And I'm hoping that this topic that you brought up can help other people too, not just teachers whose students have this issue, but anyone listening to this podcast. If you're ever feeling a bit dry, that's really helpful. I'm going to add one more little bonus thing before this, and then I want to ask you how people can get in touch with you. So do you know another one of our teachers? I think it's Haley. There's been a couple of teachers in our groups who are also singers, and I think it was Haley who told me this tip, but I could be wrong. It could be somebody else. But best thing ever for your vocal folds, right? I don't know if you've had this problem at the end of the day when you're just like, your throat is a bit tired, right? Like, it's not the muscles of the jaw, but if it's ever that, right? Or you're feeling a bit hoarse, right? Like your vocal folds are a little kind of scratchy. Number one tip, applesauce. Right. So have some apples, you cook them down.
I heard it on one of the episodes of your podcast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember.
I remember who we were talking to. Yeah. But applesauce is the other thing.
Yeah, exactly. You were talking. And actually, she was telling about this straw, you know, using this straw to train and probably also relax your vocal cords. Yeah, so to blow into that straw. And actually, exactly that, I bought this particular telescopic one, which now I realized can be used as a, you know, wrist.
That's true, too. Yeah. As long as your grip is nice and loose. Yeah. And you're not like clamping down on something metal. Yes. Remember that? Yeah. You're going to hum, make a buzzing noise through the straw. Yeah. That vibration relaxes the vocal folds at the end of the day.
What a silly episode are we sharing? Are we recording?
How many things can we do with straws and chopsticks today? Let's see, right? Yeah. And spoons and all. It's all the little things, though, that really help, right? So if you feel like, wow, I'm a teacher, I've been talking all day, or, you know, you use your voice in any professional capacity in the office, whatever, and then simple straw, like hum into the straw, that'll relax your vocal folds. And if you're feeling like they're a bit scratchy, applesauce, because it's the pectin in the applesauce, and pectin in any fruit, but apples have the highest amount of pectin, and it's pretty easy to make some applesauce. So today we're talking about, again, moisture. How can I become
moisture? And also one more thing about apples. On some other LT teaching podcasts, one of the hosts had this kind of speech, you know, something like this, made these sounds. And one of the listeners dared to send him a note that, you know, if you eat green apple before the lesson, you won't sound like this, you know.
It gets rid of that.
Probably also about pectins.
Yeah, exactly. The membranes. It's got to like hold in the moisture better than releasing it. That would make sense to me. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The same thing happens to me when I'm recording a YouTube video. My producer is on as well. And he says, oh, take a drink of water. I can hear that kind of like clacky dryness thing, right? Yeah. And we might not hear it ourselves. We don't notice these things. So it takes somebody else telling us sometimes, but we can avoid it, you know, in advance, right? So these are all really good topics that just kind of come up, you know, as you're talking about other things too. So that's another reason I really like our Accent Teachers Academy, is because you don't always talk about the things until somebody brings it up, and then you start noticing them in other people. And sometimes just talking about the problem altogether, we solve the problem, right? So here's the question that I wanted to ask too, is how can people get in touch with you, right? If people want to work with you, people want to know more about you, get involved, how would they do that? What's the best avenue? What's the best path for that?
First of all, I have my own Telegram channel. which is called this and that. You know, this, yeah. Miscellaneous English stuff. Yeah, okay.
Nice.
And yeah, actually, I think that people may contact me on our wonderful Discord venue.
That's true. That's true. That's where our whole community is, right? And so teachers and students can pair up, can match up there too. Absolutely. They can send you a direct message there just by joining our community for free. That's a really good point too. And your Telegram channel, this and that, we're going to put the link also down in the description.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Guys, you might be thinking, oh, I don't speak Russian. Yeah, but if you're on Telegram, they have this pro feature that if you pay for the pro version of Telegram, if you're on it enough, it translates, it auto-translates everything for you. So you can learn so much from so many different groups. So I would say join this and that with Natalia. And also, yeah, guys, join our community on Discord. It's totally free and you get the monthly masterclass for free, along with a monthly community event for free. That's just for showing up, right? Just for being interested in language and straws and chopsticks and things like that. So if that's for you, we'll see you hopefully over there. And Natalia, you and I will have another episode after this. So I'm going to see you. I see you all the time, but the listeners will get to hear you again pretty soon so we can do a follow-up episode of this.
Yep.
But I want to say thank you so much, Natalia, for coming today. And yeah, and thank you guys for listening too. Thank you all the audience.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And thank you guys for listening our episode and actually pay attention to our community.
Absolutely. Yes. Good plug. I didn't have to say it. You did. Awesome. So thanks guys. And we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
I hope that was as interesting for you as it was for us when we discovered this little problem and started digging into it. And I hope to see you in my Discord community for accent enthusiasts. We like to say, get enthusi-accent. And I know, but, you know, we're all kind of word nerds there. So there's a join link down in the description. And even at the free level, you get to come to 2 live monthly events with me. Plus, there's a behind-the-scenes channel where you get to see pictures of the cat and other things that are happening in my daily life. And I share a lot more there than I do on Instagram, for example, because my community is really like my family. And you know that if you wait until the end of my podcast episodes, I tell you something that has been going on recently. And today I want to tell you about something I'm annoyed about, which is often my hair. Let's face it, I often talk about my hair. But behind my head, you can't see it, I've got an extra light, and we call it a hair light, and it kind of gives this glow around my head. So if you're watching this episode on YouTube, then that's what you can see. And if you're not, you're just listening and imagining this nice little glow. But it's supposed to make me kind of pop from the background, right? Because my background is quite dark and my hair is brown. So we put a little light back there shining towards the camera to give this nice little glow. Cool, right? Great. But now I feel like you can see all my little broken hairs, all the little fuzzy outline of when my hair is not, like, you know, got any product in it or anything like that. So now I'm becoming hyper aware of what my hair is like anytime I turn on the camera. So that's kind of like, I'm thinking, should I keep the hair light? Should I give it up? Like, what's better here? But yeah, if you've seen any of these videos, let me know if you think it's better with the hair light or not, right? So that's what I wanted to share today. And guys, I hope that you also listen to that other episode where we talked about the pectin and singing, because that was a really interesting episode too. And we'll put the link down in the notes as well. And in the meantime, we can say goodbye for now. And as you know, Coconut the cat likes to say goodbye too. So bye everybody. See you soon. Thanks a lot for watching.